coming up on this special episode of Inside Pop.
And the winner is the 90th Oscars. From the montages to the fashion to the winners and losers, the Academy has spoken, and we ain't mad at it.
You know what? It's an honor just to talk about the Oscars, and that's happening right now on Inside Pop.
Hey, y'all. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson, and this is a very special Inside Pop. We are your weekly dive inside the world of pop culture, and today we are talking about the 90th Oscars, which just happened in the world of recording this podcast. It is now 12:21 a.m., and Amita and I are up, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to share our thoughts on the ceremony that just ended.
Yeah, we've done this the last couple of years. We like to just do it fresh right after the show ends. All of the emotions, all of the reactions are fresh from us.
Yo, and this year, Sean David Johnson is totally sober. I gave up alcohol for Lent. So this was an interesting experience for me watching the Oscars in my right mind. I don't know if I would suggest this to anybody.
That's really funny. So you're not usually in your right mind when you're watching the Oscars?
No, buzzed at the least. Come on. As is everyone else in that auditorium, at least buzzed. So
there has to be. There were some flasks going around there, I'm sure. Yeah.
But so here, let's see what this is like.
My brother and I always watch together, so we had some wine this year. But we actually don't always, so... Depends on the year. Sometimes I'm a little buzzy and sometimes I'm not.
Well, I would say that this year a little bubbly would have helped me enjoy it more. It was a fine Oscars. That's how I'm going to go into this. It was a fine Oscars. But you know what was more than fine?
What?
Fashions. I thought everybody was looking good in their own special way.
Yes, you know I love to talk about some Oscar fashions or any red carpet fashion. I agree. There was some really amazing fashion this year. Lots of different colors and cuts. I'd love to just run off a few people that I really enjoyed. Sandra Bullock looked phenomenal. Gina Rodriguez, I love her in general, and I always love her fashion. Lupita Nyong'o, always killing it. Chadwick Boseman, bringing Wakanda to the red carpet. I know you probably enjoyed that. And Jennifer Garner in this gorgeous blue. She...
Pause.
I was waiting for you to pause me somewhere.
I have something to say. Jennifer Garner, can we give her some roles outside of like Christian Lifetime movies? Like,
she's
so
not doing Christian
Lifetime. The last three movies she's done have been like Christian movies that could have been on Lifetime.
Okay.
I need her starring in Oscar worthy movies. She's so beautiful and such a good actress, and I feel like she was saying that to everyone because she looked so good. She was like, look at me, can you please put me in some movies?
Oh, she was definitely making a statement, like, hello, I am here, I am ready. there's a category of fashion that I think you can probably manage. The unique and colorful blazers that some of the men were sporting.
Right on. Our friends, our sibs from another crib, at JojCast podcast, they pointed this out on Twitter as well. Lots of dope blazers, starting with Miguel.
Yes.
And then we had Sufjan Stevens with a kind of a striped, colorful blazer. And then there was another blazer at work. There were some really good blazers. And I give credit for the guys who were like, yep, I can do a tux, but you know what? I'm going to just still be dressy and give you some blazers and a slacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daniel Kaluuya did this gold number that I really enjoyed as well with his tux. And shall we have a moment for Mahershala Ali?
We better not, Amita, because I'm not sure what might happen if you say his name one more time. It's like Beetlejuice. If you say his name to me two more times, mayhem will ensue.
Mahershala Ali?
I.
His name?
Okay, you're playing with fire right now.
Well, I really enjoyed seeing Mahershala Ali on the red carpet.
Okay, you did it to yourself and all of our listeners.
It's that so fun.
Man, there are no words, not in poem or song, that could describe the beauty of that man on this night. I'm done.
Oh my gosh. Well, one other trend that I think we should just move on to, because
why are you trying
Sean
to change
Sean needs
this
a minute.
Because
you need a minute. You're going to have a minute, and I'm going to talk about another red carpet trend while you take a minute.
Okay, but can I just say one thing seriously about sure. him? Yes, he's beyond beauty, but he knows how to wear clothes. His stylist, whoever that person is, knows how to pick out clothes for him. That's how you do it.
Everybody take note of Mahershala Ali and his style. Sean said so. So another interesting trend that maybe people are starting to talk about is that re-wearing dresses on the red carpet is becoming a thing. And I am all for it. Rita Moreno, EGOT, love her in everything. I could watch West Side Story every day of the week. She said on the red carpet that she is re-wearing the dress that she wore in 1962 when she won her Oscar. She re-wore that on Oscar night. Isn't that amazing? 50-something years later.
Amazing.
One, she still fits
amazing.
In it and looks fantabulous in it. And two, she re-wore it. She was just like, who cares? It was a gorgeous dress. It is a gorgeous dress. And then our girl Tiffany Haddish, somebody let her into the Oscars and we should never let her go. If you noticed on the red carpet, she wore this beautiful look that had this incredible embroidery, and she said it was a nod to her background in Eritrea and also to honor her late father. But then she presented with Maya Rudolph, hashtag give them a show, and she's wearing this beautiful white gown. And I was just like, that looks like what she wore to the SNL monologue that she did. And it was. And if you remember that monologue, she said that she was wearing that dress. And it may look familiar because she wore it to the Girls Trip premiere. It's because it is a $4,000 dress from Alexander McQueen. And she was making a commentary saying, I paid for this dress. I'm going to wear it multiple times. I should wear it multiple times. And she now has worn it for a third time at the Oscars. Like, just shut it all down, Tiffany. I love you for doing that.
I think she got her money's worth tonight. She and Maya Rudolph were one of my highlights of the show.
Hell yeah.
Just funny, and I think there was improv involved. They were just perfect. And I want to see more of them together doing something.
They were so great.
Reuse, renew, recycle.
I want to see it happen more and more. Like, why not? Start this trend, Tiffany Haddish. Do it.
Right. Lord knows that I reuse many of my outfits on a weekly basis when I go to work. Ask my coworkers.
So what else did you enjoy? How did you feel about Jimmy Kimmel hosting this year? Repeating from last year, actually.
I loved Jimmy Kimmel. I thought he did a great job. I think that his opening monologue was relaxed. It was funny. And I think he did a good job of balancing the mandatory commentary about Time's Up and Me Too. He had to talk about that. And I think he handled it in a really authentic way. I felt like he meant everything that he was saying. He wasn't trying to paint too rosy a picture. I think he was honest about everything, but also really funny. I think he was the perfect person to host again, and I think he did a great job. And I think he had a really funny monologue, and then he pretty much stayed out of the way and kept things moving, which is the job of the host.
Yeah, he did a really fun bit where he challenged everybody to give a short speech, and then the person who did would get a jet ski. My favorite part is they put on the Price is Right music, and Helen Mirren was the show model. I was like, just stuff like that is funny. It's just great.
Yeah.
It brings it up.
And it was right, because sometimes there will be a bit that they overdo, and you're like, I get it. It's a bit. Stop going back to it. But this one I thought was really well played. I think there was the introduction to it. There was the callback where they threw in, you know, what, a stay at a hotel. And then the final reveal at the end. I was like, perfect. That's all.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Yeah. And then he decided to do what, similar to what he did last year. Last year, I think he brought a tour of the theater into the Oscars, unbeknownst to them that they were coming into the actual award ceremony. And so then there was all these really great moments with some people and stars sitting in their seats. And so he kind of flipped it this time, and he took a bunch of celebrities in gowns to a next door theater who they were watching Wrinkle in Time, I think. And he just interrupted their film and brought all of these Hollywood A-listers in to give them food and candy. It was good. I thought he pulled that off well.
Don't interrupt A Wrinkle in Time. If I'm watching A Wrinkle in Time, don't interrupt it.
You know what's funny? Oprah was on the screen. Oprah was on the screen when they interrupted it. I noticed that. I was like,
oh, really? That's funny.
You're like, interrupt me in my film.
Well, yeah. Listen, I would have that's the only way I'm going to allow a movie to be interrupted is if a bunch of celebrities come in and give me candy.
Exactly.
I tweeted that if I had been in that audience, I would have hugged Lupita Nyong'o. I would have slipped Guillermo del Toro my business card. I would have told Emily Blunt she's the best. And I would have given Armie Hammer a firm handshake. And yes, there's some innuendo involved in that last bit.
Really?
Why not? He's there. And he just interrupted A Wrinkle in Time, so he owes me. All right.
He completely owes you. Well, I mean, we can talk about all the things that happened, you know, throughout the ceremony, but maybe we should talk about some of the awards. I think the one that probably both of us were the most excited about was Jordan Peele winning Best Original Screenplay. He is the first Black writer to win an Oscar for original screenplay. Historic, amazing, so well deserved for Get Out.
So well deserved. I think that sometimes the screenplay seems like a consolation prize for not giving that same person Best Picture, Best Director. In this case, though, I don't think it's a consolation prize. I think he deserved that. The script and just the overall story is so brilliant and well executed. He deserved it. Listen, I would have loved for Get Out to win Best Picture. Spoiler alert, it did not. In case you've been waiting for all of your Oscar news to come from Inside Pop, I'm here to tell you that sadly Get Out did not win Best Picture, but I was happy with the winner. We'll get to that later. Basically that category, I would have been happy with almost anyone who won. And we talked about that in a few episodes ago.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but yeah, well done. And listen, a great Oscar acceptance speech. And he looked good while delivering it. So
he did. He did. Another really awesome highlight from this ceremony were all of the best song performances. It seemed like they just took a cue from this podcast and decided to get Mary J. Blige and Miguel and Common and Andre Day to perform this year. Thanks, guys.
Yes. Some of our favorites. can we also throw, I'm going to initiate a new favorite, Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yes, for sure.
He's the best. I know I just said Rita Moreno was, no, Emily Blunt was the best, but he's also the best. If I took 10 singing lessons, I feel like I would want to be able to sing like Gael Garcia Bernal, right? Like, he's not blessed with a beautiful voice like Whitney Houston. But he was staying on key, his like little tiny voice. It was so touching, though. Like he had this like very gentle,
Yes.
Barely their delivery. And then boom, Miguel.
Yeah. I think his delivery was, I think he was a little nervous, but I mm-hmm. bet it was probably in the vein of his character, which is what I did not see Coco, unfortunately, when I'm dying to see it. So I think that's probably what he was trying to portray, I hope. But yes, it was great when Miguel came out and sang all those notes we love that he loves to sing.
If there's ever an Inside Pop live show, that's pretty much how it's going to be. I'm going to be Gael Garcia Bernal, and I'll start, like, I'll walk up to the stage, and I'll start to sing, and I'll be nervous, and my voice won't be good. And then from the background, you'll hear Amita belting something, and she'll be like, boom, let the real singing begin. That's what the Inside Pop live show will be like.
Exactly. Now you know.
Someday.
Now you know. But also, you know, I think some really great messages in some of these songs. I feel like Mary singing Mudbound, there was so much power, and it was so moving to hear her sing that. And Common and Andra Day sang a song, Stand Up for Something, from the film Marshall. And it was really incredible. They brought all of these activists and they kind of spotlit all of them one by one behind them, which was so beautiful and extremely moving.
Yeah, and again, listen, in 2018, any kind of statements like that, I feel like people are really connecting to and needing. And even me, Mr. Cynical, I was touched by every speech that called out for justice and acceptance, and every performance that did that as well was really moving to me. And now's the time, now more than ever. So I really loved how they did that. I love Andra Day. I feel like people are still sleeping on Andra Day. I think I want her to have a bigger, better career. I mean, I think this Oscar performance is going to help put her in the minds of people. But I think she's phenomenal. She's a phenomenal talent.
Yeah, she really, really is. She is. We'll have more about the Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Director, right after these short messages.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's also a real conversation, so I don't know where it's headed.
I think you just clarified something for me that's never been really clear before.
This is the most serious I've ever been in my life. You've made me completely serious. I feel like I'm in therapy.
Bullseye, creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Inside Pop. We are giving you our immediate reaction to the 90th Academy Awards ceremonies. It's Oscar night. It is now Oscar afterglow. Amita and I recording right after the ceremony. And it's one of our favorite nights of the year. So we're still bathing in the glow of the Oscars.
We are.
It went by really quickly, Amita.
It really
for me.
Did.
It just zoomed by. It didn't feel long.
It didn't. I don't know what was different, but it definitely felt quick to me as well, which I'm not gonna be mad at, because you know what? These things usually go really, really long. So I'm glad that it felt short, even though it was 3+ hours
Plus, yeah.
Yeah. So, but when, you know, that last 20 minutes came in, we got the big awards, which were Best Director, which went to Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water, which I know you have mentioned this once before. I think we might probably mention it on the podcast, but he and the three amigos, as they call each other, I guess, Alfonso Cuarón and Alejandro González Iñárritu, the three of them are all really close, and they've all now won an Oscar. And I just love that their friendship has now turned into so much success as well.
Yeah, if you look at the credits of all of their individual films, they always thank each other. I think they show each other scripts. They show each other rough cuts. And Barry Jenkins, let me see if I can quickly pull up his tweet. He he summed it up. Barry Jenkins tweeted right after Guillermo del Toro won, and stand by, I just want to read this amazing. First of all, we've said this before, but nobody supports other artists better than Barry Jenkins, director of the seminal Moonlight,
yes,
winner of last year's Oscars. No one does that more than Barry Jenkins. So let me just read Barry Jenkins' tweet.
I would like to say maybe Ava DuVernay does it just as much. She is so awesome at that too.
Yeah, agreed. So Barry Jenkins says after Del Toro wins, "Wow, wow, wow. Imagine if within 5 years, you and your two best homeboys or homegirls or any mix of the two, whatever else forms your bond, all win the most prestigious award in the craft you love and have dedicated your life to. Like, that's heaven."
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Summed it up.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's like if you won an Oscar and I won one the following year and then another friend of ours won it the year after, like we would all just be like in heaven. That's what it would feel like.
Right. For us, it would be Emmys. If we won Emmys 3 years in a row or within 5 years of each other, yeah, that would be amazing.
Absolutely.
And it'll happen. Let's make that happen. Let's put that into life. I mean, I think that's what Del Toro was said in his speech. He said it. A few other people said it. Be dreamers, dream big, and then work to accomplish those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Really inspiring, you know. And it was so cute seeing him on stage with his big glasses.
Yeah.
Obviously, that is a strong prescription. I can tell from glasses. But you just imagine like little, and I say nerdy in the most positive complimentary way, little nerdy Guillermo del Toro in Mexico 40 years ago, being a big fan of movies and nerding out about them. 40 years from now, little boy, you're going to be on the stage accepting the same Oscar that all of your idols have won. So it's beautiful. And I kind of saw all of that when he was there clutching his Oscar. So, you know, for this genre film, right? It's, can we call 2017 the year of genre films?
Yeah.
Get Out, Shape of Water, Logan, all of my favorite films.
Yeah.
Were, genre films.
I love that. I love that description of 2017 films. And just a great segue into the best picture, The Shape of Water. Guillermo got to go back up again. Mm. And, you know, we didn't talk about this that much, but we both did enjoy this film. I thought it was a beautiful story of love and friendship. And I really enjoyed The Shape of Water. So I'm really glad that it won.
Yeah, and I think that I am really appreciative that we got to see The Shape of Water, followed by a Q&A with Del Toro and that amazing cast.
Yeah.
Right? It was Octavia Spencer. It was everyone except for Sally Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
Octavia Spencer, Michael Shannon. Who else was on stage?
Michael Stuhlbarg, I think, was there. And Doug
Jones. Oh, God, yeah.
Doug Jones and Richard Jenkins.
Right, everyone. And I feel like that the Q&A helped me to appreciate the film even more than I would have without it.
Yes.
But it really is a film, like all the other nominees, that people put a lot of thought into and a lot of hard work, and it showed. I mean, it's a fable that feels very timely. I like that movie a lot. I really do. I really do. You know, nothing in 2017 compared to the feelings that Moonlight gave me the previous year. But, you know, I'm happy with Shape of Water winning. Okay, like I said, at least it wasn't three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. But did that win anything? Well, no, Frances McDormand won. Well-deserved, I think. She's
yes,
amazing. And let's get to her speech a little bit later. But what do you think, Amita? For a while, Three Billboards was the front runner. What do you think changed?
You know, it's so interesting. You know, my brother came over and watched with me, and he was saying, you know, he was thinking Three Billboards would win because it had won previously. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, though. Like, I feel like there's been some movement away from Three Billboards towards Shape of Water. There was even some little murmurs about Get Out, which was making me so happy. And I think, yeah, I think that the controversy and lots of people kind of up in arms about the film might have swayed voters.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, I still scratch my head about why this film was a front runner for so long. But I think, yeah, I think the controversy, I think people who would not have thought that there's something problematic with the film, I won't say wrong, but something problematic with the film, I think this controversy helped people who wouldn't have seen that to see it. And yeah, maybe then that swayed their vote.
Yes.
So I think that played a part in it. And I think that if you're a member of the Academy and it's the final 2 weeks and you're going through the films to watch or maybe even rewatch if you're a diligent Academy member, I think there's something about Shape of Water that is just, you know, it's like a fairy tale for our time. And I think it's, I don't know, it's the movie that maybe out of all of them, it's the most feel good. I think that giving Frances McDormand the Oscar for Three Billboards was what everyone could happily do and feel good about, casting that vote for that movie. And Sam Rockwell, who got Best Supporting Actor.
I think so. You know, I was talking to my brother, you know, and we do a little Oscar ballot between the two of us. And, you know, we were saying it just seemed like a lot of the awards were evenly distributed for the most part. And in that, usually there's always one, you know, most years there's one that the tide starts to follow quite a bit. But this year it was pretty even. So you never really could tell what was really going to like grab everything. And in that way, I feel like Three Billboards, they got the acting nods and that's enough.
And move it along.
Exactly. So, and moving along to Frances McDormand's speech, I'd love to discuss it because I think she's always has so much conviction and she's always very emotional when she does her speeches. She really does want to make a statement, and this one was fantastic. She put the Oscar down and she told every woman who was nominated to stand up. And I just looked at my brother and then I just like froze. And then I wanted to stand up. I was like, I'm not nominated for anything. I don't know why I need to stand up. And then I was just like, this is amazing. It just gave me so much joy. And you know, I love her for doing that.
Yeah. She's exciting also because she's a little kooky.
Yeah.
And I say that in the most positive terms. And so you're not exactly sure what she's going to say or what she's going to do. And there's this moment when she has the microphone, it's like, oh shit, anything can happen. But I will say that throughout the entire award season, she's never gone overboard, right? She's in her little nutty way, super smart, makes great points. And I think I tweeted this as well. She's, I think, the most radical presence in at the ceremony tonight. So I appreciated all of that. And that was I don't think I've ever seen that done before. And it's such a simple thing to do, but it was so powerful. All the female nominees, please stand up. Mm-hmm. And just to give them that recognition and then to make a point about it, not just to have them stand up, but then to follow that up with, okay, so all of these women have more to give. So take our phone calls, take our meetings, let's keep this going.
Yeah, she was like, don't talk to us at the parties tonight. That's not doing the job, which I loved. Right. You know, she's like, this is not about tonight. This is later. This is moving forward. And then she just made this little comment and she's like, two words, inclusion writer. And I was like, what? She said that? And I just like took a second and I was like, she did say that. And I thought it was so powerful and so great that she took she just said it. And she said it on this incredible platform and stage to do it to the room of people that needed to know. And hopefully those women who stood up will do moving forward. And for those of you who may not know what that meant, you know, an inclusion rider, which we actually retweeted, Wonderland Records, which is Janelle Monae's record label, actually wrote a really good description of it. An inclusion rider is a set of standards that require outreach to fulfill roles that are not historically diverse. These can be included as a clause in an actor's contract that the crew and cast represents properly. And
what an amazing thing. So yeah. So actors who have a lot of power because they've got powerful agents and managers negotiating their contracts. So just imagine if, right, Meryl Streep and Frances McDormand and Lupita Nyong'o and whoever has an inclusion rider in their contract, which forces, because you do have to force these things, unfortunately, sometimes,
yeah.
Forces more diverse hiring. I love the idea of that. I had never heard of that before, actually.
I didn't either. And I was just like, yes. And it was just like, this is a thing and it should be a thing. And if it's not a thing, it needs to be more of a thing. And I like that she just made it another thing. And, you know, my brother was like, you know, what is this? And what does that exactly mean? And I explained it similar to what you just said. And he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And that was it.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's funny. I mean, For you and I, Amita, when we're hiring people for our projects, I think we do it without even thinking about it too much. I mean, I think we're aware of it and that we're aware that we like working with diverse staffs. But it doesn't take a lot of effort on our part to do that. But, you know, it would be nice if everyone hired in that way. And everyone won't, right? Quite often people hire people who make them comfortable. Or with whom they've worked before. So it's people who've already had the opportunity to work with them. So I just love the idea of this inclusion rider too, for those people who don't have the contacts or the wherewithal to bring in a diverse workforce to force them to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Put your foot down, yeah. You know?
So amen to that. And actually, you know what? I like that a billion people now around the world
yes.
know that phrase. And
exactly.
We'll be thinking about that, whether they're in TV or film or accounting or wherever. That's an idea now that I think a lot of people are thinking about, and that's exciting.
Exactly. And then thank you, Frances McDormand, for making sure that you utilized that stage and really made the most of it.
I see you, Olive Kittredge. I see you. Other ladies, women that we liked, Jodie Foster, had a really nice little back and forth bit repartee with Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny because she came out on crutches and Jennifer Lawrence is like, what happened to you? She's like, Meryl. She I Tanya'd me. Oh, I almost lost it. It was great. That's so
that's
good.
Great. And Meryl plays along. Meryl plays along really well.
She always does.
Yeah.
Meryl.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, listen, this was one of the first years that I have not participated in any type of Oscar ballot. We didn't really do it at work. And last year, we had a nice competition with the hosts of the Long Distance podcast, Claudia and Matt. So I did not participate this year because I was running around like a lunatic today. But you and those two did a friendly last minute ballot competition.
We did. They filled out their ballots and they put pictures up and tweeted them out. And then they kind of challenged us to do the same. So I ran over to a Staples, printed out a ballot, and I did it really quickly and tweeted it out, and they were so generous and kept score because I was not doing that. All I was doing was just like crossing out what I had right and wrong. And Matt, I believe, is keeping score. Thank you, Matt. Former champion Matt from last year. And I'm happy to announce I won this year. I don't know what happened.
Because
I feel like we had so many similar answers, but yeah.
Congratulations, Amita.
Thank you. Thanks. My brother and I also had our own side competition going, and we were pretty neck and neck, actually, until the very end. I can't remember again what it was. He was not okay. Yeah, he messed up score and song. That I remember. He was very much questioning,
oh, okay.
Remember me. I don't know why.
Coco also on my list of movies I need to see now.
Yeah, me so, too.
Oh, so here's – yeah, so that's a question. So based on the awards, are there any movies that won that you would like to see based on their awards?
Yeah, I really want to see A Fantastic Woman, the best foreign language film. I would love to see that. And I actually did get a chance to see the animated short film Dear Basketball that Kobe Bryant won an Oscar for. I saw that last year at Tribeca. I would like to see The Silent Child, the live action short film that won, that woman who did half of her speech in sign language, which I thought was amazing. And I wanted to kind of learn a little bit more about what her film was about. So I'd love to see that too.
Oh, I saw that film and it's real. Actually, that category, four out of five of those films, phenomenal. And any of them deserve to win. But yeah, The Silent Child is pretty remarkable and moving. So yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's great.
Yeah, and the documentary short subject film that won, I haven't seen it, but I saw Heroine, which didn't win, but I thought that was also really moving. It's on Netflix, guys. Definitely check out Heroine. It's about the opioid epidemic in a town in West Virginia, and it seems like it would be a downer, but interestingly enough, it's hopeful, which I think was why it got so much recognition.
Cool. Well, I really want to see – I still haven't seen The Florida Project, so that's pretty high on my list. I would say The Florida Project, definitely want to see Coco, and so I have two of those screeners that I have not yet destroyed. Sorry, Producers Guild, but I need to watch them first. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
We did good this year. We did pretty good.
Yeah, I saw all the movies I wanted to see.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow, Amita, another year, another Oscar ceremony.
Another award season over. And let it start over again. Because let's just take one moment to say Get Out came out last February. So the season's already here. Let's be honest. And, you know, if anybody's talking about Black Panther being a contender, I think the two of us are.
And about another billion people. Black Panther, hello, I will see you get at least a nomination. Of course, it will.
It definitely has to, yes.
But that came out in February. I think Logan came out in March. So who knows? Black Panther, A Wrinkle in Time is coming out this weekend. That has a nice pedigree. You've got a little Ava DuVernay directing. You've got Oprah, Academy Award nominee Oprah, Academy Award winner Reese Witherspoon starring. So can't wait for that one. Cannot wait for Wrinkle in Time. So now I guess it's the time, Amita, when we turn our thoughts to future movies like that one and many others. And also we'll focus on TV and music. So many great things coming up, right?
Oh, definitely. Atlanta is back, y'all. So I am all up in that. I'm actually curious to watch this new Hulu series, The Looming Tower. I'm not sure if you heard of it, but I'm definitely curious to see that. It has Jeff Daniels and Peter Skarsgård. It looks really good. So, yeah.
Yeah, lots to do. Oh, maybe we should do a spring preview at some point because there is a lot of great stuff that comes out in the spring. It's not saved all for summer anymore.
Yeah.
That might be a good thing to research. Well, I guess that does it for us this week for our special Oscar review. But make sure to stay in touch with us. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders. And of course, you can head over to InsidePopPodcast.com to find out more about us and also to subscribe and listen to older episodes.
You can also like us on Facebook and find us on MaximumFun.org alongside some wonderful podcast dedicated to comedy and culture.
This week, we'd like to give a special shout out to listener Mike Litherland, who found us on Facebook. And Mike, thank you very much for the nice comments. We are really happy that you share our love of Janet Jackson. And we hope that you continue listening and check out other music centered shows that we've had, as well as other stuff on TV and film. Thanks Thanks for listening, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. And have a great week, y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.